This is going to be kind of an abbreviated sermon, if you will. Try not to hold me that too tough, all right? But the name of the sermon this morning is Fishing Buddies. Fishing Buddies. How many here have had a fishing buddy before? Right? You usually don't go fishing alone, right? Especially ice fishing, right? Imagine going ice fishing. That's a little dangerous. I mean, your whole tent could fall in the water and we wouldn't know where you are. Life is meant to be together. In the community of faith, as Christians, we're meant to do life together. And so I was reminded of that when we went to Feed My Starving Children. It was more than just a glorified packing process. It was more than just going to a place where vitamins, vegetables, soy, rice was going in, right? It was more than that. We were blessing the least of these. But without our partners that are missionaries and relief organizations, that food would stay in Minnesota. It would stay in Eagan, Minnesota, where we packed it. But because we have partners that are missionaries and that are relief workers, that food is getting to the least of these. And so we work as a team. We work as a team. And like Convoy of Hope and all of that, it takes a team. And what I love about fishing in the New Testament times is it's a team factor. There's only one singular instance, right, where when we went through it, right, where Peter took the hook and took the pole, if you will, and got a fish, and it had a miracle that took place there, right? But everything else was go get the nets, go out together. We're going out in teams to catch fish, right? Because we're meant to do that together. And it's a simple message this morning. We need fishing buddies. Not only is the Christian life not a deserted island like we learned from Shipwrecked, right, with Vacation Bible School, that it's, no, we're not meant to just be on an island by ourselves. It's in community with one another. We love God. We love people. We share life. That's our mission. You can see it every time you walk in the door. You can see it on the screen before we begin worship. We love God. We love people. We share life. We're on mission. And we want this place to be an environment where people that don't know the Lord can experience the love of God, that can experience the power of God, that church shouldn't be a... I shared an instance this week where there was a church and there was this guy that he was dressed up and he was standing by the door and somebody came in and they didn't look like they had the best clothes on. And they actually told that person, you need to leave. You're not dressed appropriately for church. Now, should we dress our best? I believe that. I believe that, again, when we're greeting people at the door, we want to be ready to greet them. But at the same time, too, if we're doing stuff like that, please don't ever be a greeter, okay? Like, we don't want you to greet because you're just rejecting people from the potentially hearing the gospel and responding. And so that pastor said, listen, from now on, we're going to do this. And the person's like, oh, you know, they didn't like that. But it was very much, hey, we are about reaching people and we don't want them coming in the door and feeling rejected. And so, again, my heart is the same. And my heart is that when we want this church to be a church that is mission-focused, that when people come in, you're loved on, you're prayed for, you're believed for healing for, and change to happen in your life, that we care about you. We actually care about you. You're not a number. You're not just a face. We care about you. And again, I love that about Mitchell Assembly of God, and I pray that we continue in that way. Matthew 16, Jesus talks to the disciples. And Jesus, right, he's done a lot. The disciples have done a lot. In one instance, somebody asks, like, hey, can I go back to John the Baptist? And he says this. He said, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those with leprosy were cured. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is preached to the poor. A lot of awesome, incredible things were happening to show that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. He came to transform all of humanity, right? And all of this has happened. And Jesus, he gets away from the crowds, and he goes up to Caesarea Philippi. And in Matthew chapter 16, all of this has happened, and Jesus gets away to the foothills. He kind of goes on a men's retreat, right? Or a ladies' retreat, if you will, coming up, ladies. And he goes away up on the foothills, and it's beautiful country out there. And they're relaxed, and they're in this relaxed setting, a setting to retreat and to get filled back up again. And the disciples would experience a climax and a dramatic turning point in the gospel. Sometimes you need to get away in order to have something dramatic happen in your life. Sometimes you got to go position yourself in a different place to hear from the Lord like you never heard from the Lord before. That's why retreats are so important. And so they get away, and there's something important here that happens. And that is this, that Jesus, he says to them, he says, who do people say I am? Doesn't Jesus love to pose questions? He does, right? That's how he communicates. There are a lot of times people ask him a question, he'll ask a question back. And so he poses this question, who do people say I am? And it's so interesting, the answer. They say, some say John the Baptist. Well, John and Jesus were in the same pool together, right? They were in the Jordan, and John was baptizing Jesus. There's no way that John could be confused with Jesus, yet people were confusing them. And then reincarnation comes up. Well, he is the reincarnated Elijah, or you're a reincarnated one of the other prophets, right? Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or the other prophets. I don't think anybody was trying to say in Judaism that there's now this new belief in reincarnation, okay? That wasn't taking place. But they so couldn't wrap their minds and hearts around Jesus, they're like, he must be these guys here. And in fact, right, John the Baptist is said to be not the reincarnate Elijah, but he is the Elijah symbol of preparing the way for the Messiah. And they saw Jesus, they said, oh, he must be that Elijah we're talking about. So not reincarnated, but he must be that symbolic Elijah, not getting that John the Baptist was. And Jesus, he gets right to the point. And Peter, by the power of our Father in heaven, revealing it to Peter, Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven revealed this to you. We're talking about fishing buddies. And I remember when I was 17 years old, I went to Australia, and we were, another story from there, we were walking around the city, and Jacob said to all of us, he was our leader, he was like 18 years old, and he said, you know, sometimes you just grab an ice cream at McDonald's and you walk up to somebody and just start talking about the Lord, and you have an ice cream, they're eating something, it doesn't feel as like, hey, I want to talk to you right now. And so he tells us about that. Well, we walk all around the city, we can't find really a lot of people around, and so he's like, well, let's go to McDonald's. And so I see this guy in the back, he's got a suit. Oh, I'm 17. Like, talking to a guy in a suit, that's a little rough for me. And I'm like, I'm praying he has a young face. I'm praying he's a kind of a young guy. And so I go to get the ice cream, and I tell Jacob, I'm going to go back there. I'm going to go talk to him, thinking I'm going to go alone. And he says, all right, let's go. And I felt just this encouragement, this unction, like, wow, I'm not going by myself. Jacob's going with me, and we're doing this as a team. And so we went up and just tag team back and forth, just whatever the Lord felt. That we felt the Lord sharing, and the guy's name was James, and his heart was so open to the gospel, and we got to pray with him, and he asked Jesus into his heart right in McDonald's, right? He didn't have it his way, right? He had it God's way. So he asked Jesus into his heart right there. Well, you know what? Fast forward 20 years, 21 years, Jacob, who is my leader, is now a missionary in Thailand, and he's continuing to lead people to Jesus. You don't know what's going to happen from just a single encounter with you go with a fishing buddy and you go and do the Lord's work. That God can open up so many doors and do so many awesome things there, that he's called us to do it as a team. He's called us to be together as a team. Fishing was never meant to be a solo expedition, right? I'm reminded of that with FMSC. I'm reminded of that with Feed My Starving Children is what I mean there. I'm reminded that in my even first interactions of sharing the gospel with people. And Peter, in the midst of a team, Jesus isn't just talking to Peter, right? He shares with Peter, And he says, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ yet, right? It wasn't time yet. But he's not just pulling Peter aside. Notice he doesn't do this when Peter says this. Hey, Peter, I got a secret for you. Here, Peter, come on over here. Come on. Get away from these guys that don't know anything. These guys are dumb. Get away from them. Peter, come on over here. I'm going to use just you. And I'm going to build my whole church on you. No, he's not saying that, right? He's saying this in front of all the disciples. Because, Peter, there's coming a time where you, even though you're going to deny me three times, and even though you have failed me over here and over here, I'm going to have you get up in the temple, and I'm going to have you preach, and 5,000 people are going to come to Christ, and it's going to be explosive. And then I'm going to have you preach again. Another 3,000 is going to be added to the church. And then you and John are going to go over here, and you're going to, and all this stuff is going to take place. And I'm going to use you to burst open the gates, burst open the floodgates of fish, because there's all these fish over here, but there is a dam that is keeping these fish from coming out. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you, Peter. But I'm going to use all of you. This isn't a secret. This isn't some secret knowledge that I'm telling you over here in private, Peter. Peter, he says it to Peter with a whole idea and heart that you're going to be apostles. And what is that? Sent ones. You're going to go and be sent, and you're going to go out. We're going to do this together as a team. And although this team looks pretty ragtag, right? We've got a tax collector that everybody hates. We've got fishermen that never went through all the Bible stuff that they needed to according to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And I'm going to use this ragtag clan. I'm going to use this ragtag group, and I am going to reach the world. And 2,000 years later, look what has taken place, that the gospel is being spread all over the world. I believe the statistic was 2/3 of the world says that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. God has exploded Christianity throughout the world. He uses teams. He's not just looking for a guy or a girl individually to be superstars. You know what I loved about my mission trips? As here I was, a 17-year-old, and I had a PVC pipe. I know this is a pen, okay? I had a PVC pipe that was painted gray, and we were sword fighters. So I was a sailor. The other guy was a pirate, supposed to represent, like, angels and demons. And they would fight, right? And I got to swashbuckle and jump as the sword's going underneath and all that. I wasn't the main character. I didn't play Jesus. I wasn't the team leader bringing in the net. I wasn't the person sharing my testimony at that time. I was swinging a PVC pipe. But guess what? I was part of a team where hundreds of people were coming to Christ, right? That's what God's calling you and me to. He might be calling you to swing some PVC pipe, to join the team, to be a part of the team in world evangelization. And you might say, that is too big for me. It's not. It's not. Because if God can use Peter, a broken guy, a denying guy, he can use you and me. And he can show us through the revelation of the Father who Christ is and how we can share that with other people. And that's what God's calling us to. It's pretty simple that he's calling us to a team. And God showed it this morning, this Sunday morning, all the ways that he was working. It's a team. It's me and it's you, right? It's us doing it together. And that's such an exciting thing. It's an exciting thing that God wants us to be fishing buddies. And as I come to a close, you're like, what? Yeah, I really am, all right? I really am. We need you on the team. There are spots to be filled for Sunday school. We're looking for somebody that can take care of our little kids. Again, there's going to be preschool, and then there's kind of those in between before they get to high school. And we need somebody. And then we need somebody to help in terms of girls' ministries. We need somebody to step up and say, I'm willing to come alongside the team, and I'm going to pour into these young people. because I believe that they're our future. And guys, the biggest outreach we do in a week is not on Sunday morning. That would be awesome, okay? But it's on Wednesday night. We get kids that are not church. They don't go to church. And they come here. We get our kids that come on a Sunday morning. Right? It's a fantastic ministry. And people can testify how amazing that God has done some really, really neat things. And all of it leads to greater discipleship. We need Royal Ranger commanders. We do. If we're going to have a team, we need you as a man who's going on a retreat maybe to go say, you know what, I'm going to invest into our young people. And I need your help, Pastor John. I've never done it before, but I want to do it. And maybe your work schedule is kind of crazy, so maybe you can only help once a month. We'll take it, okay? Because it's so important that we're investing into outside the walls by investing inside the walls, investing in children that are our next generation. And we need nursery ministry. We've got some great nursery workers. Please hear me, and thank you. Thank you for that. You're valued. You're important. It's awesome. But we need nursery workers. And this is not a guilt trip. I'm not taking, here, get in the guilt car. We're going to go for a few miles until you're really tired, lethargic, and willing to say yes. No, that's not, that's okay. This is an idea that teamwork, and we can name off other stuff, right? Right? There's other ministries as well, too, but these ministries are about to be launched these three specific. Are about to be launched in the fall here, just a couple weeks away. And really ask you, you know, the Christianese thing is, I'll pray about it, Pastor, but you've already agreed in your heart that you're not going to, right? And it's a polite thing to say, I prayed about it. Like, I'm really spiritual, Pastor, and I know God's not calling me to this. Well, okay, I don't want that. Okay, when I say you pray about it, I really mean that you pray about it. But if the Lord's unctioning you right now, too, I'm not going to stop you there either. Join the team. Join the team. And I will say, you know, guys, in churches where it's sometimes an 80-20 principle, that 20% of the church does 80% of the work, I don't feel like that's here at Mitchell Assembly. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for that. But I don't want 80-20. I don't want 80% of us doing 100% of the work. I want 100% of us joining. Why? Because your life's going to get changed. Can I have an amen on that? When you join and you get involved, can I have an amen on that? Oh, phantasmatical. Sometimes it takes twice. Even this is a short sermon. You're like, hey, listen, we've had a lot of energy going. I'm pretty tired. but again, you know, I love everybody to have their hands involved because you know what? Your life will be changed by it. We were just talking this morning. A friend of mine was just talking. I was talking with them. And when we invest into the kingdom, God invests into us. When we pour in ways that are sacrificial and that really are about caring for the lost and caring for the church and being a part of a team, you benefit. You benefit too. You grow too, right? And so, awesome. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for all that you've done here. I'm praying that you would just complete the work. Thank you, God, for Kathy's divine touch that you did this morning. And I'm praying she would feel even more of your power. God, that she would stand up and walk out of that wheelchair, and she would know that it's you. She would just feel your presence and your power. And God, I pray for Les as you've taken away that pain in his hip. I'm praying for complete healing there. God, that you would just completely do an awesome work. And for all the prayers that we prayed, I pray, Lord God, that there would just be continued fruition in our lives, continued fruition in the ways that you love us, that you care about us, and that you're working in and through us to minister in awesome ways to the church and to the people outside of our church. God, I thank you that this is an open doors church. It's not a church that says, we're a clique, don't talk to us. This is a church that says we continually have the open doors that want the lost to come in. No matter red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight of every background, no matter where people have come from, no matter what they dress like, no matter what they wear, no matter where they come from economically, we don't care about that. We love you, and we want lives to be changed through us loving them and sharing your gospel. We thank you, God, for this day, and we ask that you would bless it, bless our week as we go forward. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you.